Good morning, everyone. Hold on a second. Okay, let's try that again. Good morning, everyone. So here we got the tempo displayed. And when I think about these verses, I think about this area that most likely all these people were going to be talking about. It's a large area. And that I can imagine it was probably a pretty busy area this time of the year. Now they said that during the Passover that the city of Jerusalem was really full of, could be, you know, an extra million people there. It was one of the feasts that all Jews were required of adult age to try to be in Jerusalem if they could. And so we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we get to spend in your word, and help me, Lord, to be a good ambassador of your word, and that I can share it in a way that honors you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, today we're in still continuing in John, and today we're in verses 12 through the end of the chapter. And we had left off yesterday. It was the wedding at Cana, and they had gone over to Capernaum. I think that's probably where they where most of them lived. And we see his mother was there too, and his brethren, which would be his brothers and sisters, who also went to the wedding, it seems. And I just thought I would find it interesting that, believe it or not, at this time frame, growing up, that his brothers didn't really believe that he was who he is. And that found a couple other verses to reference this point over in John 5, which we'll get to in a little while. It indicates, for neither did his brethren believe in him. And that's true until after the resurrection. And actually, James and Jude, though, became quite the evangelists after the fact. So they came around. And also over in 1 Corinthians, Paul mentions them also. In 1 Corinthians 9:5, we have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as a brethren of the Lord, and Cephas, which is Peter, by the way. And also over in Psalms 69:8, if we get a chance, study Psalm 69, a really good psalm. You can see it's actually one of the few places that you can see a little bit of a hint of what life was like for the Lord during his growing up. And I like this particular verse here. It's 69 verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Most believe that this particular psalm was referencing the Lord himself. The whole psalm. It's actually, it's from the words, you know, it was penned by David, so it would actually be before. So it's more of a prophecy of the Lord, but I think it's part of the reason that it's in our Bibles too. Back to John, verse 13. So they're going to be heading down to Jerusalem, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. As per I said, that all males that had the ability were to go. I forget the other ones. I think there was two or three required times that they had to be in Jerusalem if they could. And this was one of them for sure. and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and changes of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changes money and overthrew the tables. I was trying to figure out what that scourge of small cords was. What I gather, scourging is to whip. And small cords is actually just a rope. So it looks like he probably whipped it. I'm thinking he drove the animals out with a whip, more or less. And then he overturned the tables and the money just went flying everywhere. He was pretty upset. And with due reason, I know some people like to point to this verse that it's not proper to do any kind of fundraising around the church. But realize that this particular activity, and let me just finish this particular section, John 16. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And I just want to mention over in Matthew 21:13, it mentions this will happen again later on in his ministry. It'll happen a second time. But here we see that he references, and he said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And I think the important thing to remember is that the den of thieves, it wasn't so much that they were selling in the temple, is that they were actually profiting from it. And I think that's an important aspect to remember, that I know that we occasionally have fundraisers for special occasions and do things to help the church. But in this case, these folks were actually in it for themselves. And basically the way it worked is if when you went to the temple, you were supposed to offer a sacrifice. And for those that were traveling long distances, they wouldn't necessarily bring a sacrifice with them. So they would buy it when they got to Jerusalem. And the other thing is that you couldn't buy it with money from wherever you're from. It's like an exchange. But unlike today, where there's a well-known exchange rates, back then they could pick any dollar amount they want. You know, they could say that, and usually they would really escalate it to make money for themselves. So let's say that the normal rate for, as an example, like the Italian lire, maybe there's normally 5 liras to the dollar. And so you showed up with lire, and they would charge like 10 or 15 lire to the dollar. And so they would make money on the deal, and you would be cheated. So that's what we meant by a den of thieves. And then on top of that, the people who sold the actual items, it had to be in temple money. So they converted it to temple money, and then they would charge outrageous fees because the people really didn't know. I always found that too when I went to another country. It's sometimes hard to realize what something costs in comparison to U.S. dollar, because when you convert it, the exchange is such an unusual amount that it's pretty easy for someone that's trying to cheat you I remember, I think it's a lira. I picked that one because I remember being in Italy, and it's like a huge difference. It's like a big number. I want to say it was a couple of thousand lire to the dollar or something like that. I don't remember now. It was a long time ago, but it was hard to correlate what you had in your hand to what you knew. So it was easy to realize you might spend a lot more money than you really intended to. So that's what Jesus was upset about, is that they were using his Father's house as a place to cheat people and make money. Back to John 2:17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And again, back to Psalm 69:9, we see that again where it was mentioned. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. So the disciples are remembering back to the Psalms, and that this particular episode was foretold back in Psalms. So John 2:18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What signs showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Again, this is a prophecy. Later on, the disciples will remember this. But the actual prophecy is of his crucifixion and the temple he's talking about. It's his body, which he's going to mention here in a few verses. But I thought I would reflect back to Matthew. It's also mentioned in Matthew is where it really did happen, Matthew 26:61, and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And that was when he was actually being tried for his crucifixion by the, and actually the high priest goes on to say, And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answer thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? That was the time when Jesus was on trial, and they were accusing him of saying that he was going to destroy the temple. So it was an accusation they used back then. Also over in Mark, it says, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. This is what John is reflecting back on in that verse in 19. And John 2:20, he goes on to answer it. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. You're noticing John here, he's talking more in past tense. But again, as I mentioned before, this particular book, they figure was actually penned somewhere around 85 AD. So way after, 30 years after Christ had already been crucified. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. We see this again in Luke 24:6-8. This is back when he had risen from the dead, and this is the angel talking to remind the disciples when they came to the sepulcher of what Jesus had said. And I'll read it here in verse 6. He is not here, but he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day raised again. And they remembered his words. So I find it very fascinating that all through his ministry, he kept mentioning 3 days in reference to this and to that. And he really drilled it into them so that when they look back on this, they could realize that what he was talking about. Under verse 23. Now, shifting gears a little bit here. He's still in Jerusalem, and it's the Passover. And now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. Doesn't really elaborate as to the miracles he did, but I'm assuming that when he was in Jerusalem, he had a lot of people there. And so he probably went around healing as many as he could to continue his ministry, and that many, many will believe. And that I can see this as a time frame where Jesus was setting up for people to, we hear a lot about through the Bible that Jesus wasn't accepted by the hierarchy of the church, mainly the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't believe. But it's interesting to see. I wonder how many truly Jews actually did believe in all. Uh, Someday we may find out when we meet some of them. Verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he makes reference to this too back in Matthew 9:4. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your heart? So he's he knows basically that men like to deny certain things, even though they witness it. In verse 25, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in men. In other words, basically saying that he was still God, and that he could sense what people were really thinking, even though they weren't saying anything. So that's where we are today. I guess I don't really have anything to add. A little short one today. And I showed you the picture of the temple. There wasn't showing you many, many pictures of the temple area. So he's down in Jerusalem. And the other thing I'll make note of too is I think that when it comes to that thing that happened in the temple, and this will be the first of he'll do it again towards his end, and I think it's also part of the reason he did it was to give. He knew he had to end up going to the cross and die for our sins, and so he had to set it up that to make it to where they were wanted them to want to do that. So he had to make himself appear to be, I guess, I'm not sure how to put it, but I'll just leave it at that. Well, and with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for these great lessons that we learned from your word, and it's important to understand you and get to know you as a person, what you like and dislike, and that it's important that I guess the one lesson we learned today was that to not cheat, to not be someone who goes around trying to line their own pocket on others, and to be honest in our business dealings. I guess that would be the message for today, Lord. And thank you so much for these lessons you teach us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. I guess that's the lesson for today, is that to do things honestly in business, and that I think it speaks a lot for your person. You know, if you're honest in business, then later on down the road, you'll have nothing to be ashamed of. So that's all I have for today. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.